Good morning. Welcome to South Haven Christian Church. On your way in this morning, you were handed a bulletin. Inside is our silent roll call card. If you're a guest, please fill the side that says guest and members the opposite side. If you have any prayer concerns or announcements, go ahead and fill it on that piece of paper, and you can put it in the offering plate at the offering time. If everyone will please stand, we're going to begin worship by singing Forever.
God is with us forever.
Hey, as you make your way back to your seats, we're going to have our morning reading.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to read from God's Word, Psalm 5:11. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you.
You may be seated as we sing, I Could Sing of Your Love Forever.
Mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing when your love came down. Open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands. I will always sing when your love came down. I will sing of your love.
As we get ready for prayer, we're going to sing How Great Thou Art.
Oh Lord, my God, when I wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. And take me home, where joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Working, yeah. See the light of it, but I don't know if you'll see anything different on my face or not. I don't have my glasses on. Yeah, when they got that, surgery a couple of weeks ago, and it's made a difference. I was used to the glasses before, and now I look for it, but if I put them on, I can't see. So it's good. So we have some prayers, some people that we need to pray for. One is Stacy, her arm. She still have problems, pain in the arm that they don't know really what's going on yet, you know, but she's got that. So we need to pray for Stacy's arm. And I was talking to Sandy Jones. She got her back surgery done, but I don't know, a couple months back on the one side, and she's doing so good that she's going to get the other side done tomorrow. Yeah, so that, I mean, the doctors came long ways. Long time ago, they used to take a year to recuperate from a surgery. Now they just go in there and walk out the same day. You know, so they came long ways. Carol Barrow, she said that tomorrow they're taking the brace off her knee. Yeah, so that's good. I don't see her. Oh yeah, Faith is here. I don't know how she's doing. I didn't talk to her, but she's still there. We still need to pray for her. Faith Kelly. And Ann Adams, you know, she's got long problems, you know, and we need to keep praying for her. And I don't see Barbara Bailey here today and last week either, so I don't think she's feeling it well, so we need to pray for her. And we know what the other girl, what's her name? Luann, we know where she is. She's in Alaska over there. Yeah, she's in Alaska on a trip over there, so it's when we don't see her. So let's go to God in prayer and ask him for thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for you watching over us, and thank you for that. And we need to praise you for the answer of prayers for the ones who have been healed. And we ask you to be with the ones came this morning, the ones in the house, in your house here. May you bless each one. We all have needs. Our healing needs from your hand, Lord. May you touch each one and give us, may you bless our bodies and help us to feel better. And we just thank you for the prayers that are, answer of prayers that we hear. We know that we believe that you can heal, and this is what we come to you in prayer. So we do pray for Stacy. May you touch her arm, help her to go the pain to go away, and may the doctors will figure out what's wrong with her and her arm, and so that may you bless her and help her. And Sandy Jones says she's going to have a surgery tomorrow. We pray that this, what they're doing again, will go well like it did before. She have a good results from the first one, so she's going to get the other side. May you be with her and help the doctors to do the same work as they did before. And we thank for Carol Barrow that she's got taking the brace off tomorrow. And she had it for several months now, and she's ready to take it off. And may you guide her and protect her from getting pain again, to getting hurt. And may you, as she's going to go to therapy, may you be with her. And, as they do that. And we do pray for Faith Kelly. She's here with us, but she still need to some guidance and the wisdom of the, what she need to do with her diabetes and foods that she need to start eating to control that. So be with her in April. And we pray for Ann Adams. She is at home. She's probably watching us because she watches us every Sunday. And so we pray for her that you touch her and help her to have a good days, as we know that the lungs is given out and she's on oxygen all the time. And but she watches us every Sunday on the And we do miss Barbara Bailey here, the singing. She's usually here, and we know that she's not feeling well last week, and she's probably not. And so I just be with her, Lord, and help her to get better, because we miss her here. And pray that maybe next Sunday she'll be with us. And, just be with Don and Luann as they are traveling. In Alaska, it's a beautiful place up there, and may you bless the trip and help them to enjoy it and bring them back home when the time comes. We just thank the Lord for each one that's here this morning, and we thank you for watching over us and pray for a better health for each one. We know that we're gonna suffer, but we like to feel best as we can, and we know that we can call on your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Heal our land.
Good morning. Nice to see everybody here today. want to share a message today, written by another man in Indiana. I read through it, and it was something that I just wanted to pass along. May have a lot of bearing on some folks' lives. Maybe young Stacy, she's been to the doctor here recently a couple of times. Might be some bovine involved in that. We had a good day yesterday, and she was with us. We were blessed with that. What do you do before you see a doctor? Most people sit and wait. Many folks idly leaf through old magazines or survey their surroundings to pass the time. Have you ever pictured the Christian life this way? I hope not, because the Christian life most definitely is not a waiting room. Paul explained the life of grace to Titus using these dynamic words. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, gave himself for us to redeem us all from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. That would be chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, if you wanted to look it up. Living in God's grace is not a stagnant state of being. As Paul explained to Titus, grace is the embodiment of God living within each believer. Grace begins the healing process while we are still in the broken world. It changes our perspective of living this life in preparation for eternity. The communion emblems remind us of the price Christ paid for our salvation. Food and drink are necessities for living. We have grace because Jesus gave of his body and blood on the cross. We are being transformed because Jesus died in our place. We anticipate his return because he promised us an inheritance. May this time of remembrance ignite our desires to live in God's grace. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for the gifts you give us all. And please just let everyone here remember what you've done for us and the price you paid so we can walk with you in heaven one day. Amen.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you tonight, right now, and offer up our tithes and offerings. They're a small portion of the much you give us and bless us with. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver and teach us to use it in a way that will benefit many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'll fly away to heaven and I won't fall when the angels carry me home. I want to see Jesus first of all when the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home, when the angels carry me home. I want to see Jesus first of all when the angels carry me home. Sorrow and no more pain when the angels carry me home. I'll ride that heavenly, glorious train when the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home, when the angels carry me home. I want to see Jesus first of all when the angels carry me home.
Hopefully you received a outline or a bulletin as you enter the building, and there is an outline in the bulletin this morning. We're going to be touching on a number of scriptures, probably several different times, so some of them are going to be up on the screen. You can follow along there, or if you look in the bulletin, you can kind of see where we're going. Before we do that, I've told you that on Wednesday night we try to pray for the 10:40 window just a little bit. And I've told you that several of these countries no idea. But can we have the one map slide up? It right there. India is the country that we're praying for this week. India, unlike some of these other nations that I had no idea where they were located, so I'm learning geography as I'm praying for this 10:40 window. I knew exactly where India was. Some of you know, maybe some of you don't know, my dad was born in India. My grandparents were missionaries for 6.5 years in India. It's funny to look at pictures in the 1930s. And, I know who that is. And that's when my grandpa went to India with his wife, and then the four boys that they had, the two, my dad and his older brother, were born there. And so India means a lot. Did not know that there were 30 to 70 million Christians in India. That's nice to hear. But do you realize that's only 5% of the population of India? Because there's 1.45 billion people that live in India. It is the most populous nation on earth now. It beats China. Only 5% of the population of India are Christians. The rest, most, are Hindu and some Muslims. But that country is still in much need. So let's bow our heads. I want to pray for that country here as we begin today. Our Father in heaven, I do want to lift up this country that we've been praying for all week, the country of India. We just heard in the news that they have just surpassed China in population. So we know that there are a lot of people, lots and lots of people that live in India that have no knowledge of grace and mercy, your salvation. Many have not even heard the name of Jesus Christ. So we pray, Father, for those that are becoming Christians. I pray for church leaders, both national and foreign. We thank you that this is still an open country, hostile, yes, but open, where missionaries are able to still enter. And we just pray for their protection, pray for good communication, and we pray that as they begin to reach a population that for the most part is lost and dying, that you'd give them many open doors and opportunities to continue to swell that 5% to a much larger percentage. We pray that you'll embolden the 70 million Christians that live in that country and that they'll continue to reach out in spite of the persecution, in spite of the pushback, and that they'll stand in the gap for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. I've entitled this message, All I Need to Know, I Learned from Noah and the Flood. You have to remember that Bible stories are in the Bible for a reason and a purpose. The better you know the story, the more you might walk away with the main lesson. I think there are a lot of minor lessons, but maybe the main lessons that God wants you to learn. So let me go back in history just a little bit. I'm convinced that the most current movie from Hollywood about Noah that was played by Russell Crowe came out, I think, almost about 9 years ago now. And at the time, it caused quite a stir among the religious community, which it should, because it was not Bible at all. A lot of fantasy was involved in that movie. And maybe other than the building of an ark, a boat, that we saw in that movie, just about everything else, the storyline had nothing to do with the story that you find in God's Word. But, like many movies, there were some who liked it, of course, some who did not. But here was the good news. At that time, there were many, though, who saw that movie and they were scratching their heads in disbelief because that's not the story that they remembered. The story that they heard in Sunday school or vacation Bible school, because that was a mainstay, a big story that was always shared in some ways. And so many people went back and they began to reread the story that you find in Genesis chapter 6 through 9, four chapters. And I would say that if you go back and read those four chapters, it's an adventure. It's a great story. It's chock full of lessons, I believe. And And I do think that after even a second and third reading of that story, if you get there, you'll discover that there are still many, even minor lessons that you can apply to your life. Now, someone a few years ago came up with a humorous list of things that you can learn from Noah and the flood. Let me share that list with you. There were 8 lessons that they threw out that you might not be thinking of. So let me share these with you. First, lesson number 1, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Number 2, Noah didn't wait for his ship to come in. He just built one. I hear that all the time. Well, when my ship comes in. Well, I don't think a ship would have ever come in for Noah, so he just went ahead and did what God told him to do. Number 3, stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone might ask you to do something really big for the Lord. And that was Noah. Number 4, don't listen to your critics. Just do what has to be done. And Noah had many. Number 5, speed isn't always an advantage. The cheetahs were on board that boat, but so were the snails. So, lesson to learn. Number 6, remember that the ark was built by amateurs and the Titanic was built by professionals. Yeah, and they both had a maiden voyage. One made it and one didn't. Number 7, don't miss the boat. Very important lesson. And number 8, no matter how bleak it looks, if God is with you, there's always a rainbow on the other side. All right, so those are kind of like minor lessons, a little humor there, but think about those over the course of the next few weeks, because we're going to be digging deeper into this story. Over the course of the next few weeks, I want to share some of the more powerful lessons that come from the story of Noah. And no, Hollywood did not share any of these important lessons at all in the movie, the blockbuster that they came out with. Peter, for example, wrote in his book, he shares a lot about Noah in the New Testament. Peter, for example, wrote that the flood served as an example for our salvation. He told about the people who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Interesting how Peter connects the flood and salvation in one passage. Peter also goes on to tell us that the flood teaches us about God's reputation. He told us that the flood was a lesson that was meant to show us that if God did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, if this was so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. So we have an example of what God can do when it comes to judging the ungodly. In fact, Peter explains in 2 Peter 3:3-7, in the last days, quoting now, in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming, he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it was since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. That's Peter again. Makes a lot of connections, spiritual connections, between Noah and the flood, and I believe our salvation. So let me review here. God intended the flood to teach us these important lessons, lessons that you probably will never see or hear in a blockbuster movie from Hollywood. God wants to teach us about our salvation, about God's reputation, about God's desire to save godly people, and about God's intention to bring final judgment upon the earth. But next time, it will not be by water, but by fire. All right, so now let's turn to our text for today, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I do want to focus in on this first important lesson about salvation. I want to hammer this home here today if I can. In chapter 11, verse 1 of that book, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." All right, let that settle down, sink down deep into your heart of hearts. Now here in this chapter, God is going to tell us that Noah is an excellent example of a person who had this kind of faith that is being described right here in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. And so today, let's ask and answer this question. What can we learn about faith? Our salvation is by faith. So we got to talk about this subject. What can we learn about faith from Noah? And that brings us to our first point here today, which just happens to be a question that we must answer, and that is, why is Noah such a great example of faith? And you say, "Well, is he really?" I say, "Yes, he is." "Well, how do you know that?" Because it's in the Bible. God tells us why Noah is such a great example right here in Hebrews chapter 11. With one simple phrase down there in verse 7. So in your Bibles, come on down to verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. It says, note it, "By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family." Please note the phrase, "things not yet seen." Now go back to verse 1. Remember the description of faith there in verse 1. It says, "Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see." That was Noah in a nutshell. Think about this for a minute. Noah had never seen rain, much less a flood. Noah had never seen rain, no flood. And Genesis 2, 5, and 6 tells us God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Now, it didn't rain, but God provided the water. But it didn't come from the source of rain. Internal. Waters from beneath the earth, coming up, bubbling up. No rain. In fact, do you remember what the symbol was that God used to promise that he'd never flood the world again? Now, let me stop here for a minute, because in the last 2 months, I've had two people tell me, as I questioned them, about the rainbow, they had no clue what the rainbow was about. Now, a lot of people you meet today, they'll say, that has to do with some kind of political movement or religious group out. No. The rainbow is a rainbow. It's in nature. It comes. When does a rainbow come? At the end of a storm, usually, after a heavy downpour. That's when I see rainbows. I don't think I've ever seen a rainbow during the heat of the day with no rain. Now, I'm not saying it can't happen somehow, but I'm just saying I've never seen that. But I've seen a lot of rainbows. It's usually after a storm or during a light rain of some sort, you'll see it come. These people are clueless. They don't know their Bible. Before there was rain, there was no rainbow. After the flood, God created the rainbow because it was a promise. God said, I will never take him in his word. I will never flood the world again. And here's my promise. Every time you see a rainbow, that should remind you that I won't do it by what. Now you read the New Testament, God's going to destroy the world again, just know. But it will not be by water. He promised, never by water again. And the rainbow is my symbol, my sign. I'm giving to you. Now you have to know, before the flood, there was no rainbow. After the flood, there was a rainbow. And the rainbow is still in existence today. Has been. For thousands of years. What does that mean? Well, it means if God gave the rainbow as a symbol of his eternal promise that he would never flood the earth with water ever again, it meant that there had to be no rain before the flood. You got to know that. The Bible says that, but also the sign would also indicate that. So, what's my point? So, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. That took some faith on his part. That means that for 120 years, and we know that only because it's revealed to us, it took 120 years for Noah to build that ark. While he was building the ark, he was, one, preaching to people about a flood that they have never seen before, had never seen rain before. And here he's trying to convince them that a flood is coming one day. It will destroy this world, and you need to be ready. And he preached that for 120 years. And everybody laughed at him. Made fun of him. Number two, he warned of the massive rains that were coming with that flood that they had never experienced. And number three, he built a boat unlike any boat that they had ever seen before. There weren't any boats because there wasn't any water. At least not one that was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide. No, there was no boat like this. Actually, a ship. I would call this a ship, not a boat. Yes, I would say that Noah truly was a man of faith by his very actions. Even though he had never seen rain, he had never seen a flood, he believed God, took God at his word, and did things believing that one day they would happen just as God said they would. That, folks, is what I call faith. I call it saving faith, because that's the kind of faith that we have if we're going to receive God's grace and mercy here in this world. And that brings me to my second and final Well, no, I got three questions I need to ask. My second question is why would Noah believe God about something neither he nor any other mortal had ever beheld or experienced? Good question. Why would Noah believe God? And I can surmise only two reasons. I think the first one is obvious. First, I think Noah believed all of this simply because of the person who told him. I think he had a good relationship with the Almighty God. Personal relationship. Took God at his word. God said it and Noah believed it. Which I think says a lot about that relationship that Noah had at the time. But second, Noah was only, now this is revelation for a lot of people, but Noah was only two generations removed from the man who had seen God's judgment firsthand. And that man was Adam. You realize that's how close Noah lived to Adam? Noah was 600 years young when he started building the ark. He lived during the lifetime of one of Adam's grandsons by the name of Enosh. And I'm sure it was through this person that Noah would have heard that God had brought judgment upon mankind in the past. And Noah would have realized that if God had done this before, he could and would do it again. Kind of evidence, circumstantial evidence, so to speak, eyewitness evidence perhaps, because a grandson who had talked to his grandfather. That's what Peter says in 2 Peter 3, 5 through 7. Look at it. Long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, that present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Folks, we better learn this lesson hard and fast here today. God has destroyed this earth before. Yeah, look at it. This whole earth has been destroyed once already. He can do it again. In fact, he promises to do it again. He just gives us the rainbow to say, I won't do it by water. Next time, it will be the end of the present heavens and earth as we know it, because I will destroy it all by fire. And that brings me to my third and final question here today. Why did the people of Noah's day refuse to believe in Noah's preaching after 120 years? It is interesting that Peter, in 2 Peter 3, was predicting that what had happened in Noah's day would happen again. In Noah's day, people refused to believe a flood would ever take place. Peter then predicts that even centuries after Noah, there would be people who would refuse to believe that a flood ever did take place. Interesting. And how true is that of our day? Oh, man. Over the past 100 years or so, much of what has passed as science has challenged Genesis so effectively that many Christians today struggle with whether or not there was a worldwide flood like the one God describes in the Bible. The skeptics, I believe, choose to disbelieve that anything so miraculously as a universal flood could ever take place, because they don't believe in a God. And they look at nature. There's no way that nature could do this. And so the skeptics raise questions. They put doubts in our minds about the very existence of the Almighty God. I've listed there in your bulletin several questions that I've heard concerning Noah and the flood, like how could Noah have gotten so many different animals in the ark? How could Noah and his family feed and care for those animals for about a year? That's how long they were in that ark. Are there any other witnesses to a worldwide flood? Where is the evidence that such a flood ever occurred? You see, these are all good questions. But you know, there are good answers to every one of those questions and many more. When I went to see Jack Cottrell 2 years ago, I was driving through Kentucky, and there was a moment when I was driving through Kentucky, I said, oh, I remember someone told me that the Noah, I'm not sure if this is the exact title, but the Noah Ark Experience is in Kentucky. And I remember the town where they had built that ark. And I just don't know, it was in this moment as I was driving, I saw that town and I said, it's around here. It was daylight, so I said, well, if that ark is as big as the Bible says, I should be able to see it. So I started looking around as I'm driving, still watching, you know. And I turned and looked in one direction at the right time between two little hills. And I saw a ship. I saw it in the distance. A long distance. That's how big that boat is. And if I wasn't in such a hurry, I would have stopped. But I saw it. I said, man, that is a big, big boat. To see it miles and miles away. And, of course, I've done more research and dug into that experience. And let me tell you, if you have any questions about Noah or the ark or a universal flood, and you want your doubts to be calmed or built up, whatever you think you need, go there. I still have not been there, but I've talked to people who have been there. I plan to go this year, I hope. Unbelievable what you'll see. Anybody here been there? All right, we have two. Bob and Gail right there. They're our resident experts there. Is it worth the visit? Yes, Stacy's gone too. Yeah. I would tell you that if you're close to Kentucky on Interstate 75 in about the middle of the state, plan on stopping. Because it will knock your socks off. And it will also answer a lot of your questions. Because I do believe in a universal flood. I don't believe in local floods. I don't believe something happened just right there in that one little area. Because I believe in God. And I believe when God said he destroyed the world, he destroyed it. All of it. You can already see that most of it's water anyway. He didn't have to do much. Just a few continents. That's all he had to do. Because the rest of it was already water. But here's my point as I end this message today. We're all like Noah. If we're Christians, we're in the Lord's army. He has left us here to be Noahs. Yes. He says, now, thank God he didn't just give us 120 years. But he has given us a lot of time to go into a lost and dying world to try to convince them of something that they have never experienced, something they've never seen, and that is this world is going to be destroyed by fire. Are you ready? Noah was trying to get them in the ark. What are we trying to do? We're trying to get them into the kingdom. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get them saved and get them into the kingdom of God before the Lord Jesus returns. But see, there are a lot of people that don't believe in God or Jesus or miracles. They don't believe that the kingdom of God is present. But it is. And anyone here today, if you're a Christian, whether you know it or not, you're on the boat. Yeah, you're in the kingdom. But how many people are not there? And think of that boat. Think of that boat. When the people saw the water come, when they started to see the level of the water rising, and they knew there was no way that they were going to get away, what did they try to do at that time? They were trying to get in the boat. But it was too late. That's what's so bad about waiting. Because if you wait, if you hedge your bets and say, well, I'm going to wait. You know, I hear people say that all the time. I'm going to wait till the last minute and then I'm going to repent. I'm going to do my thing until I know it's the end. Well, the Bible makes it clear that people are going to be eating and drinking and getting married. Sounds like everything's just a normal day. And Jesus, bam, he's here. And they're caught off guard. And Jesus, when he was here, says, don't get caught off guard. Be ready. Don't let the thief come in. Don't know why you're in this service today. Don't know what brought you to this service today. If you're a guest. Now, if you're a member, you better be here. You always have to ask yourself a question when you're somewhere where someone's talking about salvation. You know, maybe this is Noah preaching one last time. Are you on the boat? Are you in the kingdom? Are you saved? If Jesus comes back today, do you know that you'll be with him forever there in heaven? It takes faith. In order for that to happen, you got to put your faith in something you can't see. Noah did. We do too. We take Jesus at his word. I'm coming back one day. And I'll take you home to be with me forever. Looking forward to it. But he says, while you're there, can you do me a favor? Can you just fight for me a little bit? Can you just witness a little bit for me? Can you just let a lost world know that there's still hope? And that they can also be part of the kingdom of God. That's where we are. It's a choice. We can share the gospel or we can keep it to ourselves. I always thought about that. You know, Noah, we hear about Noah's preaching, but you know, he had a family. I wonder how much the sons and their wives were telling their friends. Were they doing anything? Now, we don't have any Bible evidence of this, but I just wonder. Was it only Noah that was doing all the preaching, or was there a whole family trying to convince people? And people were shunning them, turning them away, laughing at them. Let me tell you, you'll run into a lot of that. Water off a duck's back. Come on. Because I'm still convinced that there's some people out there. $1.45 billion people in India. And most are going to hell. $1.4 billion people in China. Most of them are going to hell because they don't know Jesus. That's why we pray for the 1040 window. That's why we pray for those that are bold enough and capable of enough to get there and to preach the gospel, because that's where people are lost. Well, they're lost here too. and not to a tune of 3 billion people in two countries. Unbelievable how many people are in those two countries. And most of them have not heard the name of Jesus Christ. Please pray for the gospel to be spread throughout the world. This world is going to be destroyed one day. Know it. God's already proved that He can destroy it. He did it by water. The rainbows are promised that He'll never do it again. He's going to destroy this world by fire again, and then He's going to do what? That's where our Revelation studies come in. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And that's heaven. That'll be heaven for all those that got saved. See how it works? When Noah opened the windows of his ark, it was ground, finally, after a year. And he went out boldly because God told him, now it's time to go back out. Repopulate the world. Start over. I've cleansed it of all the sin. Start fresh. And we will start fresh in a new heaven, in a new earth, one day with God in heaven, forever. If there's someone here that's outside of Christ, each Lord's Day we extend an invitation and an opportunity for you to respond. And I would encourage you that if you're not in the kingdom of God, why not today? As we stand singing our hymn of decision. Bulletins. On the back, you see that there are a number of announcements that are there. I would just want to draw your attention to our leadership Bible study this afternoon at my house at 5. This is for all men of the church that care to come out and fellowship and share just a little bit with the leaders Our leaders are there, and we're anxious to meet all the men of our church and to have a little Bible study together. So that's at 5 at my home. And bring money. I provide coffee, and that's about all my wife can fix for y'all. I don't even make the coffee because I probably wouldn't make it right since I don't drink. I don't drink it. So anyway, come, bring some money because we do go out to eat afterwards and fellowship over a meal as well once a month at this monthly meeting. All right. What else? Wednesday, I'm glad someone changed. Yeah, look, someone changed the announcement. You know, last week it said, this Wednesday our study will be hell. And this Wednesday it says our study will be on hell. So just realize if you came last week, you said, well, that's not too bad. It's pretty calm, peaceful here. Yeah, it was. And I believe a revelation for a few, because let me tell you, when you start reading the Bible and studying the Bible and find out what it says about hell, let me tell you, after you learn that, you will never, ever think or wish anyone to hell, not even your enemy. You would never do it because it's awful. Awful, awful, awful. And you don't want to be there. Most people just haven't read. They think there's a party going on there. And there's no party in hell, let me tell you. So anyway, we're going to learn about that on Wednesday. Hope that you come. That's what we'll be focused on this week. And then the following week is our dinner and prayer time, and we'll be focused on our 10:40 window. So I hope that you'll come and roll up your sleeves. Come on, let's pray for most of our world that is going to hell, unfortunately. And let's see if we can pray for those that are trying to bring them to the knowledge that they can be saved. And that's what that's all about. All right, any other announcements that we need to make? Do you happen to have two photographs by chance? Have the group one first, ready to go. Don't put it up yet. There's a group one, and then there's just a fisherman. But do the group first, but don't put it up yet. Any other announcements? What? Birthdays? I don't see anybody claiming a birthday here. Ray, you thought you were going to slip in and out of here? Is that what you thought? All right, I don't think Ivan's here today. Someone asked me who Ivan, that's Ginger Morris's grandson, I believe. If he was here, he'd probably be back in the classroom, but Ray's here. Ray, how old are you?
Not yet.
78. All right, 78. And I think that's 78. Isn't that that's worth singing about, isn't it? 78. Wow. All right. So let's do what we do here. Happy birthday.